Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to continue our conversation about adolescence for another podcast or two this week.
Right. I didn't do that on purpose, you know.
Yeah.
When I collected these, I wasn't thinking teenagers.
No.
But I found these interesting and thought...
They are some interesting articles.
There's similar to things we've talked about in the past, but in each case, we can add a little bit more insight information to what we've already presented before.
Yeah,
this one was particularly interesting because of the way the author set it up.
Yeah,
the beginning of it is statements teenagers make.
Yes,
we've heard many of those.
Most of those. Right? Yes. So this is an article entitled "The Negative Voices in Your Teenager's Head,"
right?
And it's written by Sean Grover, a social worker.
Right.
And what I like about this is because we talk about self-talk quite often. Self-talk is that, obviously, that voice inside your head that sort of guides you. It tells you whether you should do something or shouldn't do something. It's the voice that sort of evaluates yourself, evaluates your situation and your circumstances.
And you hear other voices in your head.
Yeah.
Like I hear you saying, Richard, are you finished with chapter 6 yet? You know, so it keeps me motivated because I hear your voice in my head.
That's right. You
know? But that becomes part of my self-talk.
Right. And what happens is, you know, through childhood, parents have to tell their kids everything. You have to verbalize everything. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, kids begin to verbalize it themselves. And so you might even catch your young child saying it aloud,
saying
something that you've said before.
Exactly.
Don't do that. You know, you'll hear them saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. And then that externalized voice eventually turns to internalized voice, and that's called your self-talk.
Right. Which is what children use to regulate their behavior, is that internalized speech.
Yeah, that mom's voice inside your head.
No, 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 you're making bad choices. Mm-hmm. And you can hear kids repeat what their parents say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, the way that the author started it out is, you know, some of the things that teenagers often say, and they're just,
I'm gonna read.
You know, it's good to read.
Right.
Yeah?
I can't think of a single thing I want to do except sleep. It's the only time I'm not stressing. The only time I'm not worried. The only time I'm not upset.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Sometimes I hide my mom. I hide from my mom and watch Netflix.
Right.
You know?
Whoever did that.
Right. So these are some things. But then he shifts and he starts to talk about some things that parents can say to help their kids, their teenagers, address, you know, address some of this internalized voices that they're having.
So if you're raising children, regardless of their age, look at the first things that he says, but then go to these numbered items, because in the numbered items, the teen is saying, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
Okay. And the first one is?
So number one is give me space. So if your teenager says, give me space, this is what what your teenager really wants you to do is not come in their room, not corner them, and not make any demands.
That's right. Don't come in my room. Don't come in my room, corner me, or make demands.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So when you hear your teen say that, I just need some space. I just, you know. That's what they're really trying to say, and for the parent, they need to be able to respect that.
Right.
We've talked over the last couple of podcasts, but also the last week or so, we talked about the progression towards detachment parenting.
Yeah, right.
And so, what you're going to see in a lot of these things that we talk about here, a lot of these examples that Mr. River provides here. In this article, are things that are moving in that direction.
Right.
You know, if your teenager says, give me space, give them some space. You know, there's no reason to, you're going to tell me what's going on right now. There's
I have
no
a reason. Right to be in your room. Right. You know, it's not your bedroom, it's my bedroom.
I love that.
Jeez, we all.
It's not your room, it's my room. I pay the bills in this house.
That's right.
Well, that's that's setting the stage for an argument or a resolution from your child that you do not
that
want.
That you don't want to have. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I won't live here.
Right.
You know?
Gosh.
Number two is, don't yell at me.
Mm-hmm. And I love this one.
Right.
Because of what the first line. Right. I got enough noise in my head.
Right? Exactly. What they're really saying is, I've got enough stuff going on. I don't need to hear more yelling on top of the yelling that I'm already doing to myself inside my head.
That's right. The noise in my head is loud enough.
Right.
I don't need any more.
Right.
Poor things.
And we were laughing as we're talking about these, but we're not talking about even teens with psychopathology or anxiety or depression or anything like that. This is, oftentimes, this is the reality of adolescent life, of teenage life, of life as a person going through puberty.
Right. This is what it's like.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There are so many things that they have to, we'll talk about it again in a few minutes, but I hate the idea about when parents say, you know, what does he have to be stressed about?
That's right.
Really?
Right.
You know, there's plenty to be stressed about. Right. There's plenty for them to be overwhelmed with. It may not be the things that you would be overwhelmed with right now in your life. You probably were when you were a teenager. Mm-hmm. But they have stuff to be stressed about.
Yeah, don't ever say to a teenager, all you have to worry about is school.
Yeah.
Because not true.
Once again.
Yeah. I had to read number three times.
Yeah. So take my electronics away.
They're
okay.
Please take them.
Yeah. And so if your teen says this, and granted, there's not a lot of teens that are saying
they're not going to say it.
Right. But their behaviors may suggest that you need to do this.
But you, right.
What they're saying is I can't put my phone down.
Right.
I said there's not a lot of teens that say this. I have some patients, and I'm sure that you do too. I have some patients where the kids will say, that's fine.
Yep. Take it.
Take it. Yeah. Now, it's sort of a paradoxical, right? You know, they are so attached to it. They say that it's all they want, that they can't stand being without it. But at the same time, I think that there's a lot of times when they are overwhelmed by it.
They are. And they can't get rid of it.
Right.
You know, and it's like when I tell my children, if you don't want to go somewhere, if you're invited to do something you don't want to do, just tell your friends that your father doesn't allow you to.
Right.
But put it on me. Yeah. You know, rather than just say, no, my parents said I have to come home this weekend.
Right.
You know, my dad's such a jerk. He's making me come home early tonight.
Yeah.
But it takes you off the hook.
Yeah.
And I think this falls into that same category. They can't give them up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying to you, take it away and give me a break.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they really can't help it.
No.
They really can't help themselves
to
stay on it all the time. Right. Number four, bring me someplace quiet.
Right. Which goes with number three.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So.
It's that getting separated from the noise of everything, whether it's electronics or it's just an environment that has a lot of commotion.
Right.
You know, sometimes we all need a little bit of quiet.
Yeah, don't go to the mall. You know,
right.
Don't go, give kids a break. Take quiet breaks.
Right.
What was that thing about walking in the woods?
Yeah.
There's a name for that.
I forgot the name of it.
Forest bathing.
Yeah.
Right. Take your kids forest bathing. Take your kids fishing where it's quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and just let everybody's nervous system come down a few notches.
Right. Yeah. If I had if I had a suggestion for this article.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would have labeled these numbers a little bit differently because there's not going to be a lot of teens that say, bring me someplace quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But what they will say is, we should go camping.
Right. Yeah.
We should go fishing. Mm-hmm. We should do what they're saying is I got to get away from some of this
stuff.
Right. You know, when it says, you know, take my electronics away, they're not going to come out and say, take my electronics away. Right. What they're going to say is, that's the consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to come across as smart alecky. It's
teenagers.
Going to come across as confrontational.
Right.
But it is what they're saying.
Right.
They're just not using the words that he necessarily uses here. Number five, stop spoiling me. Again, not necessarily something they're going to say in those specific terms.
Right.
But, you know, there are absolutely circumstances where kids are like, why did they just give me everything?
Right.
They just keep giving things to me.
Right.
Now,
I know that some of you listening to this are thinking, I wish my kid would say that sometimes.
Right.
And granted, a lot of kids will take advantage of this if they can. But there is a large group, and I think a growing group of teenagers especially, that just get to where they don't care what you give them anymore.
Right. Right.
You can keep giving them stuff and they just don't care. And again, so they may not say stop spoiling me, but they are certainly going to become very unappreciative.
Right.
They're going to become very disinterested in what you have to offer. And again, that's the message that you should be listening to.
And what they need is to stop. They need for you to stop spoiling them. You know, hold them accountable, give them responsibility. That's what they need.
Mm-hmm. Right. Number six is find me someone to talk to.
Right.
And this is something that teens will say very directly if they need it.
Right.
They'll want to talk to a therapist or a counselor or somebody at school or just anybody that they can talk to that's not you.
That's right. And somebody who will listen, open and not be judgmental.
Right.
Just let them talk. I love when I'm working with teenagers and they come in at first and they're not going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, you develop a bit of a relationship and then they start to unload everything. Mm-hmm. And we all need that.
Yeah.
Teenagers generally are very suspicious of adults.
Right.
They don't trust us. But everybody needs somebody to talk to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and the last one here is tell me that you love me.
Jeez.
And if it's not those words, what the words will be is you don't care.
Right.
And when they're saying you don't care, what they're saying is that you don't love them. That even if I pretend like I don't care, I need you to care.
Right.
I need to love me. I need to want to spend time with me. I need you to want my best interest. And if they say things like you don't love me, you don't care, and those kinds of things, what they're really saying is that it's not coming across that you care anything for me, that you love me.
And that reminds me of. We'll have to include that in section three.
Yeah, part three of the book.
Part three of our book, right. We'll be talking about that in more detail.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because teenagers love it. I mean, they really do. I always say we have two hands. Kids have two hands. One, they're pushing us away, and the other one, they're pulling us toward them. They do love us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always say it. So they're thinking, God, I love my parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might not always like them, but I love my parents. Why don't my parents love me?
Right.
You know, and that's what they're asking is, tell me that you love me. You know, I love you. Why aren't you telling me you love me?
Right.
So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right.
And make it unconditional.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, anyway.
That's part three of our book.
Right. Make it unconditional.
Yeah.
So, great article. Fun to read.
Yeah.
You can get a few chuckles here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of insight in the first half of the article, things that teenagers say. We were surprised when we did our book on adolescence about what teenagers were saying and what they were asking for. And it's very similar to this.
Absolutely.
You know, when they, given a chance, these are the things they're asking for.
Yep, definitely. All right, that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.